The Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. It is a long road that we've been on. We started 6 weeks ago a study on what the Bible says about angels. And I had no idea when we started. I didn't know if it would be one Wednesday night and we'd be done, or if it would spill over into 2 weeks. And here we are 6 weeks later. And Lord willing, we will finish this evening on our study of what the Bible says about angels. I hope it's been helpful for you. I know it's been helpful for me to study it and prepare it and to outline it. I know I've taught on angelology before, but I always learn more every time I study any certain topic in the Bible. And so I've learned some more about it this time. And we have come a long way since our beginning with the origin of angels, that God made them as a special group. They were made before God began making the heavens and the earth. According to Job chapter 38, before He began to separate the waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament, before He made the dry land appear, He had already created a special group called angels. And we're going to look at their functions. We've talked about that already, but they go all the way back to before the creation of the world, and they're going to be here at the very end of all things. And that's hopefully where we're going to get to tonight. And so those angels go all the way back to the beginning of time. But we read that there was a rebellion in heaven back sometime, and we think again before the creation back then. Lucifer himself rebelled against God in heaven. And according to the book of Revelation chapter 12, I believe it was, he with his tail took one-third of the angels of heaven and cast them down to the earth. One-third of the angels of God rebelled against God in Satan's overthrow, attempted overthrow, a coup in heaven. And God expelled them and they came down here. They were cast down here to the earth when God made it. So they cast them down here to this earth. And of those certain angels, we saw some others did something even farther than that. And so because of their actions in Genesis chapter 6, they were sentenced to the dungeons and the lake of fire prematurely. The other cast out angels, the evil angels as we call them, are free to roam right now. And they're running around the world. They're running around the earth right now. We talked about that. But those other ones, and we don't know how many of them, committed a sin, and God put them in everlasting chains of darkness already awaiting that end judgment. So these angels down through time. Now the good angels we talked about in the Old Testament, oh, they were busy. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham, to Lot. Angels appeared many times in the Old Testament to different prophets and different men. Back in the Old Testament, that was the way they got a hold of God. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. So the angels were busy in the Old Testament. When we got to the Gospels, we found out they were busy then also. Messengers to Zacharias and messengers to Elizabeth and a messenger to Mary and to others. And they proclaimed a message. The message of God was given through angels. The Bible was still being given and was not yet there. And so God spoke to them through angels in the Gospels. So we watched that. We watched that development. We saw their job was to protect. All right. When Jesus faced that temptation in the wilderness, the devil said, "Throw yourself off the top of the pinnacle of this temple, and the angels will guard thee." And he was quoting Psalms when he did that. Their job was for protection, for watching about. We see in the book of Acts, Paul said at that shipwreck, "An angel of the Lord stood by me this night." We saw Peter in Acts chapter 12 was escorted by the angel out of the prison. So their work in the Gospels in the book of Acts was a very intrusive and a very busy work among human beings. But something happens after that, because we get to the book of Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians. After all this emphasis on angels, all of a sudden there is an absence. They're not mentioned anymore after the book of Acts. Now they are mentioned. There's a few references to them. I mean, in Romans, Paul says, "What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can principalities or powers? Can angels?" Not even angels from heaven. When Paul mentions angels, he doesn't mention their work. He doesn't mention their being. He mentions them not being able to separate us from the love of God. Why would they want to do that anyways, but that's a brief mention. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. The mention of angels is just kind of offhanded. In Galatians, he says, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, let him be accursed. He says in 1 Corinthians, he said, for Satan himself is manifest as an angel of light. Those are the only references to angels in the writings of Paul. And it kind of makes sense because Paul said in the book of Acts, late in the chapter, I think it's chapter 26, when the shipwreck happened and he's telling the other sailors not to panic, he said, for there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord. Well, if we said that today, if we told somebody, hey, last night I was going through a rough time and there stood beside me an angel of the Lord, somebody would say, you had too much pizza. All right, what did you eat before you go to bed? That would be the natural reaction. Now, that wouldn't have been natural in the Old Testament. That would be normal. That wouldn't have been abnormal in the Gospels or the book of Acts. But in this church age that we live in right now, the angels seem to be stepping back because of the age of grace. God, we don't need an angel to protect us. We've got God to protect us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the angel's ministry seems to be backed off a little bit from everything we've seen while we live in this church age, this age of grace. But can I tell you this? It's going to turn back to the way it was before. And here's a famous old quote, and I'm not sure who said it originally. The only thing men learn from history is that men don't learn from history. Solomon said it this way in Ecclesiastes, the things that were are the things that will be. And this work of angels that was so prominent in the Old Testament and the Gospels and Acts that seems to be a little more vacant now is going to come back big time in the future. You're here in Luke chapter 2, a long time to get there. But look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 13. Now start in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All right, this is an angel, a special angel in verse 10 that says that. Then in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now in verse 13 it says, a multitude of the heavenly host. Well, who are they? Well, verse 15 tells us. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. So it was the angels that said in verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We talked about angels being protectors. We talked about angels being pronouncers. All right, they were messengers delivering messages. The angels, can we say it this way, are praisers. All right, here they are in Luke chapter 2 announcing the birth of Christ. The sky is filled with them. We talk about that every Christmas season. The sky is filled as the shepherds look up there. And there is a heavenly host, a multitude of the heavenly hosts. All the angels of heaven are up there. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest and on peace, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Their job is to praise God. Now that's an everlasting job from the very beginning of time. In Job chapter 38, the Bible says that the sons of God praised God. The angels praised Him. We go to the end of time and we find that. Look over, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The function, the job, the eternal job of the angels through all time is to give praise to God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 5, the writer here is contrasting Christ with the angels, and he says in verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Of course, the answer is, he never said that to any of the angels. He said that to Christ. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in his first begotten into the world, all right, here's when Christ was brought into the world, back in Luke chapter 2, He saith, let all the angels of God worship Him. In Luke chapter 2, they praised Him. In Hebrews chapter 1, they worshiped Him. Somebody's invented the phrase in our day, praise and worship. But I don't think what they call praise and worship is anything close to what the Bible describes as praise and worship. Praise is giving glory to God in the highest. Worship is humility. Worship is bowing down, giving God honor and glory. And that is what the angels do. That's probably what they're doing right now in this age of grace when their responsibilities have kind of been restrained or withheld. They're giving praise to God in heaven. The Bible tells us there is praise in the presence of the angels of God. Not praise with the angels, but praise in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents, Luke tells us. So the angels stand back, they praise God, they're amazed at this whole thing, that God the Son would leave heaven and come down to this earth. They don't understand that. That He would die on the cross, the eternal God would die on the cross for our sins. They don't understand that. Being redeemed, being bought back, being a sinner whose sins were paid for by the blood of Christ, they don't understand that. So they're just doing what they know to do, and that's praising God and worshiping Him. But one of these days, their bell's going to ring. One of these days, God's going to say, all right, fellas, it's time to get back to work. Let's look at that tonight, if you would. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We said that their job was protection. Their job was proclamation. Their job is praise. And we'll say this tonight, and this is what we're looking at. Their job, yet future, is punishment. Look here in Matthew chapter 16. The angels are just waiting right now for what God has left for them to do. They have performed their functions as messengers, performed their functions as protectors. They have done their praising. But they are going to be used by God instrumentally and very largely in the coming judgment of the earth. Here in Matthew chapter 16, look down, if you would, at verse number 27. Matthew 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. And then shall He reward every man according to his works. Notice the Bible says that the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. At the second coming of Christ, He is going to be accompanied by a multitude, by the heavenly host, by the angels. Now that puts us into a realm of having to rightly divide the Word of God. Because we know the second coming of Christ is two sections. It's the rapture and the revelation. The rapture is what we're waiting for. The Lord comes down to the clouds. A trumpet sounds, a voice says, come up hither, and we rise to meet Him in the air. No angels. All right, can we just put it that way? No angels at the rapture. But then 7 years later, or approximately 7 years after that, Revelation chapter 19, there is the second coming part two, or the real revelation, where the Lord comes back from heaven all the way down here to the earth. At the end of the tribulation period, and He judges the world, the moon turns to blood. You know all the biblical prophecies about what happens at that time. He comes down and He slays the nation, and there is a great feast for the fowls of the air among all the... And when He does that, when He comes at that time, the angels accompany Him. He is escorted by the angels of heaven. Not that He needs them, but boy, you talk about an army from heaven coming down. Remember we talked about Gideon looking around about the hill and seeing the heavenly host about him? Just imagine when the world looks up at the revelation, the second coming of Christ, and sees the Son of God on the back of a white horse whose tongue will slay the nations, and with Him is the multitude of the heavenly host. The same ones from Luke chapter 2, now riding back with them. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. Then shall He reward every man according to his works." That's not the judgment seat of Christ for the believers at the rapture. That's God pouring out His wrath on the wicked at the end of all things. And the angels are with Him. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. This is very, very key, very important, very misunderstood. When you can't separate the rapture from the revelation, you will be very confused in your eschatology. Very confused in what the Bible says about the future, because many people put the two together and cannot separate one from the other. And there are just distinct things that happen at each occurrence that make them not the same thing. Things that are different are not the same. And so at the rapture, when the Lord comes back for His church and we all rise to meet Him in the air, the angels are not involved. 7 years later, now the angels will get involved in the 7 years, we'll see that in a minute. But 7 years later, when He comes back to judge the earth, they come back with Him. Mark chapter 8, verse number 38. Mark 8, verse 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man," this is talking about that revelation, "be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The wording of that whole statement is not similar to the rapture of the church. It's the coming of the Lord in the image of the Father to judge the world for their sin. So the angels will be involved in judgment. They will accompany Christ at the revelation. Look at one more verse along this line, going back into the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now here we get into some writings of Paul, and he does mention these angels here in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Not the rapture, the revelation. Appearing with his mighty angels. What happens then? Verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Again, here he's talking about the second coming of Christ, the revelation. And the angels are escorting them. They're with Him. They're accompanying Him as He comes back. Right now the angels are simply praising Him. They're worshiping Him. They're giving Him honor and glory. But one of these days, they're going to punch the clock. One of these days, they're going to be called back to duty. And when that happens, it's not going to be a good thing. They're going to accompany Christ when He comes back. Not only will they accompany Christ, but they will assist in judgment. They are going to be God's instruments of judgment at the end of the times. Look back again, if you would, at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Again, these gospel presentations of the angels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, even the book of Acts, are giving us a different picture of angels than what we experience in our church day right now. God is dealing with us individually as sons. God has given us of His Holy Spirit. God ministers to us. That's our protection. That's our comforter. That's our protector now. And so we're in a different time period. But one of these days, when the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit is taken up from the world, these angels are going to come back into prominence again. And so we find that. Look, notice Matthew chapter 13. Look down, if you would, all the way. Let's start verse number 39. Matthew chapter 13 is a long chapter. It's all about the parables that Jesus gave about the kingdom of heaven. Again, that's a future time. And he says in verse 39, the enemy that sowed them, talking about the field, the good seed and the tares, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Now we're fast forwarding past the rapture, past the 7 years of the tribulation, to the work of the angels that comes down to this earth and is their job to separate the tares, separate the wheat from the chaff. It is their job, according to verse number 39, they are the reapers, they're the ones that gather the chaff to be burned. They're taking the bad away and leaving the good, and that takes them into the kingdom of God, the millennial reign of Christ. And so at the end of the tribulation, these angels are responsible for pouring judgment out on the earth. We'll see that in just a minute in the book of Revelation. But they are the reapers of the harvest. They put the sickle into the earth. They take away the unbelievers, the bad, and take them to judgment. Here in Matthew 13 and verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. In that kingdom of heaven, that millennial reign of Christ, the angels are to take away all the bad, take away all the evil, those that offend. Look down at verse number 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. When is the end of the world? That's not the rapture. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. They'll take the wicked from away from the just. They'll leave the just. They live in the kingdom of heaven, the millennial reign of Christ. The angels will take away. They will sever the wicked. They will be reapers of them. That is going to be the angels' job, to clean up the earth, as it were, to take away all those that are opposed, all of the wicked. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Verse number 27. Let's look at verse 24 to get the context. Mark 13, verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, all right, let your mind go to where we're talking about now. The rapture's over, the 7 years of the tribulation. After that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. The angels' job at the end of the world is to separate the believers from the unbelievers, the elect from the wicked, as the Bible describes it, because it's a different age and a different time. But the angels are going to be used to God to pour out judgment upon the earth. This is seen most of all, turn back to the book of Revelation. And here we'll get to the conclusion of the whole matter when it comes to these angels. We said back at the very beginning that the word angel appears 203 times in the Bible. The word angels, plural, is 94 times in the Bible, so we're looking at almost 300 times. And the one book of the Bible that has the angel or angels, singular or plural, more than any other book of the Bible, by far, three times as more as any other book of the Bible, is the book of Revelation. As we get to the end of all things, as we get to Him accompanying Christ, as we get to the angels assisting in judgment, the book of Revelation mentions these angels more than any other book of the Bible. I think the book of Acts and Zephaniah, I think, are second with like 20 mentions, and the book of Revelation is 53, I believe, if I got my numbers right in my memory. The book of Revelation fulfills and wraps up all this stuff about the angels. Look at Revelation chapter 7. If you're familiar with the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 are the church age. That's what we're in right now. Chapter 4 is the rapture. John says, I looked, and a door was opened in heaven, and a voice spake to me as of a trumpet, which said, come up hither. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne, and him that sat upon it. All right? Chapter 4 is this picture of the church being raptured up to heaven. Chapter 5 and 6, chapter 5 shows us what happens up there in heaven with the 24 elders, the church, and the four beasts, and the angels, and all that happens up in heaven. In chapter 7, that tribulation begins. Remember the other one said at the end of that tribulation? Well, here's the beginning of that tribulation in chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. And after these things, John says, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. Here at the conclusion of all things, as the last days of God's dealing with mankind are about to be wrapped up, there's going to be silence in heaven, the Bible tells us. And at this point, the four angels at the four corners of the earth are going to hold the winds. Have you ever had one of those days where you look outside and there's absolutely no wind? You know what that usually means? There's a storm coming. When there's absolutely no wind, it's not like, oh, it's a beautiful day. No, trouble is around the corner. For us, usually thunderstorms or tornadoes out west or something like that. But in this day, God's going to have the four angels stop everything as judgment gets ready to be poured off. And here in Revelation chapter 7, he says, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Remember Matthew? He said we had to seal the elect. The angels were going to separate the elect from the rest of those. Here's where it's being played out. And we read that here in Revelation chapter 7. Notice if you would, down to Revelation chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And to another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Oh, we studied this in the book of Revelation a few years back. What a terrible time it's going to be on the earth. As the church has been taken out, the Holy Spirit of God has been removed, men did that which was right in their own eyes. It's going to be a turbulent time, a terrible time, a time of tribulation. And in addition to that, God is going to open seven seals. We read about from chapter 5 to 7. Then in chapter 8, seven angels are going to sound seven trumpets, and with each trumpet, judgment is going to be poured out on the earth. Notice in chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded. Number 8, the second angel sounded. Verse 10, the third angel sounded. As we go down through this chapter, verse 12, the fourth angel sounded. Chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded. Verse 13 of chapter 9. The sixth angel sound. We don't have time to go through it, but every time an angel blows a trumpet, it's not like Gabriel blows the trumpet and the church goes up to meet him. At this time, these angels are used to pronounce judgment. And when they sound the trumpets, terrible things happen. These different trumpets that are sounded in chapter 8 and chapter 9. In verse 13 of chapter 9, it said the sixth angel sounded. And then in chapter 10 and verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, and he hath declared it to his servants the prophets. Those seven trumpets that sound almost completely destroy the world. Almost completely annihilate the earth. But it just comes short. It doesn't completely destroy everything till we get over to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of unclean and hateful, every hateful bird. These angels that have sounded trumpets, we didn't go, the angels that have poured out vials upon the earth, the angels that pronounced judgment upon Babylon, they are used by God at these end times to destroy everything that God has poured his judgment out upon. The angels have a responsibility and a job to assist in judgment. Look over at chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 19, and it's hard to skip this, in verse 11. And I saw heaven open to behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. This is that revelation that all of Matthew, Mark, and Luke was talking about, where the angels were going to get involved with his coming and separating the good from the bad. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. It is an angel that announces as the Lord comes back with his heavenly host and wipes out the inhabitants of the earth, where the blood is up to the horse's bridle. An angel announces to the fowls of the air, it's supper time. Come to the supper of the great God. The other evening, we were sitting at home in our quarantine. I like October. My birthday's in October. I like fall. What I don't like is the world's celebration of October. It's harvest time. It's pumpkins. I like this thing. But I don't know if you noticed, but on October 1st, all of the television stations for the whole month now are putting frightful, scary TV shows and movies. It's all about Halloween. Can I go on record? I hate Halloween. I put that sign up out in our yard today. He that hath the Son hath life. I thought they need a positive message. The world does today, because everything right now is just, it's negative. Skeletons and ghosts and goblins and witches and brooms and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, it's just innocent stuff. No, it's not. And so I the other night we were sitting there and a movie came on from 1963. From 1963, it was an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And I'm going to date some of us here. It was called The Birds. You remember The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock, 1963? I remember as a kid, when that came out, I was 7 years old. Probably didn't see it then, but probably saw it a little bit after that. I remember that movie scared me to death. You couldn't look at a bird after that without being scared to death. It's going to pluck your eyes out. They're gonna be an army and they're going to massively attack and feed on everything. You know, I had no idea back then that that movie was based on a biblical truth. That one of these days there's going to be the supper of the great God and the fowls of the air are going to revolt and turn against fallen mankind and devour them and clean up the earth. We watched that movie and it wasn't near as scary as it used to be. The cinematography from back then, everything looked so... Well, what are they worried about? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Hey, you could get away. You know, it's just different from... The movie ended, it's like, that's the end? I remember this being a lot scarier than this. But here the angels are used to announce that judgment at the end time. And can I tell you this? It is going to be scary. It is going to be frightful among any Halloween 13. I don't even know how many movies they've made or what they've made. The guy with the chainsaw, all that kind of, any of that stuff. It's going to be more frightful. And that's just preparing people for what really is going to happen when this happens. And the angels are going to be involved. Look at chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. An angel's going to do that. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Angels used in assistance for judgment. There's coming a day where they're going to get back. They're going to get busy again. Right now, they don't seem to be. Right now, they're on timeout. Right now, they're on break. Again, today, if folks say, I saw an angel, that's suspicious. There was a day when that wasn't suspicious. There's a day where that will not be suspicious. But it is right now. It's not their job right now. But when they show up, it's going to be like the birds. When they show up, it's going to be judgment all over the whole world, and the world's not going to know how to react, not going to know what to do. No politician's going to be able to come up with an answer. No Facebook executive's going to be able to figure anything out. It is going to be utter unmitigated disaster, and the angels are going to be involved. And those are the good angels, because they're being used of God to wipe out the things that are contrary to Him, the things, it said in Matthew or Mark, the things that offend, they're going to clean all that out. That's the job, that's the responsibility, that's the work of angels. Did you think when we started this, that's where it would end up? That's where it would go, with them being the significant party of end times in assisting and pronouncing judgment upon the earth? If somebody says, I saw an angel, that's not a good thing. If you saw an angel, that's probably pretty scary right now, because that means you're in trouble. All right, because that's they're waiting for their time to begin to pronounce judgment. This is what the Bible projects and says about angels. I know that contradicts a lot of popular theories, and you know, we like to think about the cute little Cupid angels and with the bow and arrow shooting people, you know, and making them fall in love and all that man-made kind of stuff, Greek mythology and all that. But this is what the Bible says about those angels. All right, any questions? Yeah, right. What would anybody say right now? Any questions? If you think of something about all this study we've done about angels, let me know. We've been pretty thorough, pretty detailed. I don't claim to understand all of it, but I just know what the Bible says is right. So we'll go with that. Let's stand together this evening, be dismissed in prayer. We'll sing a verse or two of a song. Father, we thank you.